24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC. That's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444. And that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
I'm going to ask that you get your Bibles and open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let us all read that together. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can be seated. I'm just going to talk for a brief while on this passage of scripture, because I feel that it's something that God wants us to hear today. We concluded our fast last week, and I was in prayer early Monday morning, and I was in prayer, and I have two Bibles, one that I use. It's the one that I use when I first got saved. It's falling apart. It's gray, so all I do is pray with it, and so I had it with me in my prayer time, and I even had my prayer shawl wrapped around me Monday morning. And I was praying, and you know, I said, God, we have come off of this fast. What is it that you would have us to do? What is it that you would have me to do? Because we're seeking you, Lord, and I just want to hear from you in the midst of everything that's going on. And I said, God, we completed the fast. What's next? Because I said that on watch night, we will have perfect vision this year. And perfect vision is better than 2020, because perfect vision requires you to be in the presence of the Lord. And so my Bible was closed as I was praying. And I said, God, speak to me. And I opened my Bible, and it landed upon this passage of scripture. Now, I know some of you may say, well, you know, that's just, you know, you're playing Russian roulette with the Bible, and you're just trying to say, Lord, so it opens. And so it opened up, and I read it, and I said, Lord, is this what you want us to do? Because immediately I went to the presence of God, 2020 vision, better than perfect vision, in the presence of God in the scripture. And I said, Lord, speak to me. And so I have multiple Bibles. And So I left my prayer Bible down, and this is my preaching Bible, which you can see has duct tape on the spinal cord. At least this one is together. And I got this one when I first got saved. And this one was inside of my pouch that I use for Bible study to study my little rolling cart. And so I just reached over, and it was closed, just like this. And I reached over, and I picked it up. And I said, Lord, just speak. So I opened this Bible, and therefore it opened directly to the same passage of Scripture. Now, I know some of you all may be, you know, oh, okay, but the probability of that happening is what we would say in the old days, slim and none, and Slim just left town. And so that I would have it for myself, I do journal, but I laid both Bibles down side by side, and I took a picture of it. So I have that picture, and I can show you all after church if you want to see it. So I said, okay, God, this is what you would have us to do this year. To have perfect vision is to seek you first. And so I said, God, you need to show me what does this really mean to seek you first. Because we've heard this passage of Scripture multiple times. And I said, Lord, make it clear to me. Make it plain to me that I may teach this. Because I've heard it and I've seen it. But when I got into the presence of God and he had me to understand, he said, but seek. And when he says, seek ye first, I had to look at who is he talking to. He said, I'm talking to you. Personally, I want you to seek. And when I had to grasp the idea of seek, and I went not just to the Webster Dictionary, but my Bible dictionaries to get an understanding of the Greek. And it says to go about, coveting earnestly, striving after. Striving after, at an attempt to find something. It's just not, I'm playing like we played hide and seek when we were little, and we would search and search, and that person would hide, and we would go after them diligently because it was a game. But God's saying, this is not a game that we're playing. I want you to go about earnestly trying to learn of me. And I said, okay, God, you want me to diligently search after you. The question becomes, what am I searching for? And he says, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what you're searching for, and I want you to search for it and seek for it first. Oh, my goodness. And I had to, you know, we always say we want to be first in this and first in that. And kids love to put their projects in the science fair and get that blue ribbon that says first. And we get everything at first. That means I'm number one. And everybody is striving to be number one. And even in the realm of sports and trying to be number one, meaning that there's nothing else before number one. And when you look at first, it brings in the mind of coming before all others. In time, order, the earliest, the foremost in position. Meaning that there is nothing that separates you from searching diligently for the kingdom of God. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where is the kingdom? Who is the king? He says, I want you to search after me first. Why? Why, God? Why must I search so diligently after you before all things? For that, I had to go back up. And it says in verse 31 of Matthew 6, it says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's saying, I don't even want you spending time worrying about your sustenance and your provisions. I don't want you to worry about that. And he says, I understand that from a natural perspective, you have roles and responsibilities and duties, even as a man, a head of a household, that you must work and you must do these things to be what I've called you to be as a man or a woman. But he is saying, let not those things get in front of you seeking. Because the only reason you have what you have is because it came from me, the Creator. So everything that you need is wrapped up in me, and I just need you to lay hold of that. Everything that you need, all of your sustenance, all your provision, everything that you need, God is saying, I have it. Because we love to quote over in the book of Philippians, Chapter 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is saying that God will supply, but how will he supply it? Why will he do it? Why will he do it? He says, don't worry about that. I need you to put me first. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the sovereignty and the relationship to God himself. In a kingdom, there are rules, there are regulations, there's a realm, there are laws. And what we must understand that this place here is not our home. Our residence is in heaven if we are saved. So therefore, we must abide by kingdom principles. Who is the king? God himself is the king. He is sovereign. His word is true. He is faithful. And this world is straying far away from that because we are in this place of secular humanism where we believe that we can do everything ourselves and we don't need God. But he's saying, don't worry about your provisions. Don't even worry about the things you want. Psalm chapter 37. Delight. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit, seek, delight after him. And he shall bring it to pass. Your desires. And if I should use for a message for you to remember today, is how to get what you need and how to get what you want. How to get what you need and how to get what you want. Because we try to figure it out and we try to do it, myself included. And just recently, I was trying to solve a problem on my own and God allowed me to get right there and not obtain it. Because he says, I am your provision. You are in this place because I'm going to get the glory out of this situation. Therefore, you must wait on me. And while you wait, you must seek diligently. 32, 6 and 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God is saying, I know what you need. Trust me. He said, I know what you need before you even ask me. I know what you need. And what happens is a lot of times we get so caught up and trying to meet our needs and doing all of this, and we have all this activity going on with no accomplishment. We're running on a wheel, and we're spinning, and we're spinning, and we're spinning and spinning, and things don't seem to be taking place, and God will just allow you to run until you get tired. He'll let you run on that little hamster wheel until you get tired, until then you say, "Oh, Lord, what must I do?" He says, "Seek me." And why should we do these? Because all these things that you need, all these things that you desire, they will be added to you. They'll be added to you. First, you must seek the kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. His righteousness. Holy, holy, holy. When we look at his righteousness, we are looking at the sum total of the requirements of God. What does God require of us? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want to share you with anybody. Come on, now let me break it plain to you. Let me make it plain how God feels about you. Come on now. You want to share your boo with anybody? You want to share your babe with anybody? Yeah, everybody start smiling there. But start thinking about, I don't want to share my sweetheart with nobody. Hey, I will tell you, my little 5'1" something, she's something else. But I ain't sharing her with nobody. She all mine. And that's how God feels about you. He doesn't want to share you with anybody else. He'll allow you to spend some time with him, but he wants his time. And he wants it first. Because he said, "You give me my time first, I got you. Trust me, I got you." Let me help you. I'm not going to be long. I know y'all hear it in my voice. But I want you all to understand this thing. I'm just going to share this. We need a new roof on our house before the end of last month. Came the middle of January, we still didn't have a new roof. Over $10,000, we needed a new roof. I had called around and I'd gotten quotes. You talking about trusting in God. Found a man, good company. I've been listening to all their advertisements. I called him over and I said, "Look, we got to get this thing done. And here's what I have now. And here's what I guarantee you later." He said, "You know, this job gonna help me out because I don't need my men to be sitting around doing nothing. It's an off week." So he came that week, put on a brand new roof. We got our wind mitigation report done. The insurance is satisfied. And it was all done before the 31st. Now, I had tried and tried and was going my way, but God said, "Just wait on me." And so that's my testimony. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. And so now y'all understand why I will seek him and seek after him, because he knew what I needed. But he knew he was working on Pastor Edwards with his patience. Y'all don't understand. I'm very cool, calm, and collected, but I'm 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go. But God has to say, "I'm running this thing." And that got my attention because I'm sitting here like, "Lord, we ain't got but 2 weeks. Ain't got but a week." But lo and behold, God did it. Say, "I'm going to be open with you." So that's why, and I said, "So Lord, what is it that?" He says, "I want you to continually seek after me The kingdom of God. It's the sphere of God's dominion over those who belong to him. If you're part of a kingdom, you're subject to the king. You do what the king want, when the king want it, how the king want it done. As we said in the military, we say, you know, how, you say, you want us to jump, we say, how high? Whatever they say, we did. Whatever God says, is that's what he wants you to do. Because when you do that, when you seek after him with all your heart, and you put him first, everything is going to be all right. And I know y'all looking at me. I wanted to dissect that, because what that means is I've got to first be saved, second, live in obedience, and then I've got to share the good news of the kingdom of God with others. See, we can't be closet Christians, because we make this thing so difficult and so challenging, but all they did in the book of Acts was they preached Jesus, and people were changed. They got saved themselves. They lived in obedience to what the doctrine of the apostles, and then they shared the good news. You share the good news. So that's what we need to do. And I said, well, y'all, I'm going to make this thing plain for y'all about giving God stuff first, because sometimes I know it's hard. But like I said, we so busy doing everything. I'm going to take y'all over there to Luke 10, 38 through 42. See, we have these two sisters over there, Mary and Martha. And see, we get like them two sisters sometimes. We put everything on the back burner. We get so busy. I got to go here. I got to do that. Oh, my goodness. My text going off. My message in Facebook going off. Oh, Twitter going off. Oh, I got 3 likes on Instagram. Oh, I got to go change this photo. And we doing everything. And oh, I got to run down here. And I got to do that. But here, Martha was in the kitchen there doing everything, just busy. Everything going all right. Just all over the place. A lot of activity, a lot of motion, but no movement. We got a lot of motion and no movement, even if we are doing the things of God, which I'm going to show you over in the book of Revelation. We have to focus in on Jesus. He said she was cumbered about doing many things. She got all upset, got mad. Yo, Jesus, I'm in here doing all this stuff. I'm doing all this. My sister down there sitting down, I like she don't care what's going on. Jesus said unto her, and this is what hit me, he called her name twice. And just like he gave me that scripture twice, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. We so focused on so many other things, we can't even see straight. Got so many devices and way to keep track of stuff, we trying to keep track of the devices that help us keep track of things. And every time you look around, a new app come out, a new this come out, a new that come out. And Lord, you got all these things and you so lost, you worse off, you might as well just use pen and paper. But Jesus said unto you, you worried about so many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary chose the good part. Uh-oh. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's seeking him first. She said, I ain't worried about that. Martha, you in there banging them pots and pans. I ain't worried about this. This man done took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If I get hungry, I know he can feed me. I know he can feed me. I know they brought down manna from heaven. Right now, while I have the chance and he is here, I can get in the kitchen anytime. I can play on Facebook anytime. I can do some stuff. But while he is right here, I'm going to get in his presence. While we have the time, we need to get in the presence of God. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Here we have the angel of the church. I mean, he's speaking to the angel of the church of Ephesus. And he says, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And God tell him right there, I know you. And just like I told you, he knows what you have need of. and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Y'all don't, he know. Y'all doing some good church work there. Y'all done tried them, even talking about they apostles, showed them to be false prophets. And are now, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and not fainted. Now that's a good compliment right there. You doing all this stuff, you ain't fainted, you doing this, you coming to Bible study, you coming to church, you praising, you on this team, you on that team, you doing everything. And you ain't gave up. But then verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Uh-oh. And what does it say? Because thou hast left thy first love. Oh. Mm-hmm. We done got so busy in the orthodoxy. We've gotten so busy in the format and how to do this, and it's become so robotic. We have left Jesus out of it. We know how to do this and how to do that. We are so good. It's formatted so beautifully. You can just give the script to somebody and you stay home and they just walk in and carry it out. But this is what has happened to this church. They doing so much good, doing everything, but they forgot about spending time with Jesus. Come on now, you know we got this program, that program, every program. We doing this, we doing that. And in our jobs, we just doing this and we doing that. We get up, oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We thank you. Give me strength today, Lord. Okay, I go on. And no time. Come on now, y'all know. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm just going to be real with y'all. My sweetheart get mad if I don't spend some time with her. She'd be like, so where you going now? Where you going? What you going to do? How long you going to be gone? When you coming back? I can't go. Because they want that time. That's what Jesus is saying today. He wants that time. He said, you want this from me. All I want from you is just a little bit of time. You don't believe me, ask your children. You can give them all kind of gifts. You can give them all kind of toys and all kind of things. Because I talk to people all over the place and I interview adults. And I ask adults right now, I say, if there was one thing you could have more from your parents, what would it be? And they would say, I just want a little bit more time. And they could forego the presents. They could forego this. They can forego that. And say, just walk with me down the street. Just throw the ball with me in the backyard. Let's just go to the park. Just be out there with a ride my bicycle. Or just do something. All I just want is a little bit of your time, mama. All I want is a little bit of your time, daddy. And God, Abba Father, is saying, all I want is a little bit of your time, baby. He said, because you lost your first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do what? The first works. Do the first thing that you did when you got saved. And do the first thing you did when you got that job. You know you was there early. You know you was the first one there. Turning on everybody's computer. You had everything together. Come on. But as time goes on, oh, those state. State employees, oh, I got 7 minutes after I get this. I can only say that because I've been there, done that. Come on now. I told y'all I'm going to be real. But when you first got it, woo, nobody had to tell you anything. You're a volunteer for every project. I can do that. You're trying to show your skills off. But as time progressed, you acquiesced, conformed to the rest of the office staff. Well, I see them doing it. Well, I guess I can do it too. And that's what happens. We conform and we acquiesce to those who have been in the church and been in the way such a long time, but they ain't spending no time with God. But he said, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. They did a lot of good stuff, but Jesus said, I need you to repent. Come on back to me. Come on back to me. Spend some time with me. You don't know. Oh, you don't know. Oh, hallelujah. In prayer today, she said, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Jesus said, you come back to me. I can show you some stuff you ain't never seen before. You think you know me, but you don't know me. Jesus saying, come back to me. All I want is a little time with you. So here we have Martha doing all this stuff, but Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here we have Jesus telling them that I need you to go back to the first works and love me like you did in the beginning. Love me like there was no tomorrow. Give unto me first. And I guarantee you, if you give unto me first, you can't beat my giving. I'll move some things. I'll open some doors that no man can close. I'll shut some doors no man can open. I will do it for you. But all I need is just a little bit more time. I need you to get in my presence. I just need you to seek after me because I'm right here. I'm just waiting on you to come and sit at my feet. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what you can't obtain right now. God is saying, all I want you to do is give me what you got. If you give me what you have right now, I guarantee you I can turn it into a whole lot more than you just holding on to it. He's saying, if you seek me, you'll understand my power. You'll understand my grace. You'll understand my mercy if you just seek me. You'll understand that I turned water into wine. I need to go over to the Old Testament as I come home. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16. So you'll get an understanding of what it means that God says, come on, seek after me first. Seek after me when it hurt. Seek after me when you can't even see your way. Seek after me when you don't know where it's coming from. Just seek after me. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have to understand that Romans 8 and 32 said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all while we were yet sinners. He says, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? He said, I give it to you. I give you all that you need and then some if you spend some time with me. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 through 16. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You don't have to say anything, but how many of your brooks done dried up? And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Here he's speaking to the prophet. He's saying, I want you to get up and go to this place because I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. How many of you, God has spoken to you and told you where to go? And if you go there, he will sustain you. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Those things, the commandments of God. Here God commanded the prophet. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel. God don't want a whole lot. He said, just bring me a morsel. Just bring me a morsel of bread in thy hand. Didn't even want it on a plate. Didn't want it to be presented like it was in a restaurant with all the parsley and all the fixings around it. It wasn't about the presentation. He said, just bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said to him, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. She ain't got much. But God said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. She said, I ain't got but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we can eat it and die. How many of y'all ready to die right now? How many of you ready to give up because you think God has abandoned you? But all he's saying today is just come seek after me. No matter what that problem is, no matter what that challenge is, he says, seek after me. Because sometimes we feel, Lord, because I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be real with y'all. Sometimes I say, Lord, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can just come on, let me put me in your presence. It get hard sometimes. And then I said, Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, you start, and he'd be like, but God said, no, I got work for you to do. I notice how some, I'm just putting it out there because sometimes we feel like we all alone and we at our last rope. Here we have this woman who's saying, all I got is this. We're going to eat it. That's it. It's over. That's it. I'm done. If you're real with yourself and real with God, you can tell him, Lord, I just feel like giving up. Because he already knows how you feel. He knows how you feel. And all he's going to say, don't worry about getting up. Hey, I got you. Just come after me. And sometimes God has to put us in a place to where we feel all alone so we will draw nearer to him. Because as long as we have a lot of stuff, we don't have a lot of God. Now, I'm not saying you can't be blessed. Abraham was a blessed man. I'm not saying God's not going to shower us with blessings. I don't want y'all to walk out of here and pastor say we got to be poor to be a Christian. No, my God. No, I don't want y'all to be Mr. No, my God. Oh, everything I need. He said he's going to give, supply my needs according to his riches and glory. Not out of, according to. That mean, according to. That means his stuff ain't going to never run out. So he's going to give me. My stuff ain't going to never run out either. But I just got to be at the right place in the right frame of mind and have the right attitude to accept all that he's going to give me. Sometimes I'm just not ready to receive what he has for me. So don't say the pastor ain't saying you can't be blessed. It's not what I'm saying. But she said, well, I'm going to eat this and die. And the prophet Elijah said unto her, fear not. God said to you right now, fear not. He's saying, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go gather your sticks. Go do all that you said you was going to do and make it. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and after make for thee and for thy son. That's strong right there. That's like God saying, I need you to go offer up Isaac and kill him. I know mamas be like, I ain't doing that. And now we have a woman here talking about, my baby hungry. My child, I give up my meal for my, but you want me to give up my meal that I'm going to give my son for you? And I say, yeah. You want me to stay home from this one event this time to spend some time with you? Yeah. So she did it. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Obedience is a hard thing. But the blessings of obedience, oh my goodness. She ain't had nothing. Made the man a little cake. Next thing you know, her table was spread. Her and her house. I'm going to make it plain to y'all. She ain't even have no pork and beans and weenies when the man came. I'm going to go old school. All she had was some Vienna sausages and Ritz crackers. Or them saltine crackers. That's all she had. Somebody's shaming her. To make it real plain, all she had was a little bit of Spam. Oh, y'all laughing now. See, yeah. See, I'm old school. Y'all don't know nothing about them Vienna sausages. But them things in the can. You pop them. Boy, me and my cousin used to eat them things all the time. Late night. With some saltine crackers. Oh, see, you know what I'm talking about over there with some high salt. But I'm going to make it plain. So that's all she had. And she said, you want me to give up my last little bit of Vienna for the prophet? And lo and behold, she did it. And now I'm going to make it. Now she sitting there. It didn't. She got everything. She got some salmon, some rice pilaf, broccoli, homemade cornbread. Then on Sunday, she got some collard green with some ham hock and fat back in it. And all see, I got you now. So now you, you're understanding this. She even got her coconut cake with homemade. Set it out. I'm just painting a picture to let you see that she ain't have much. But when God touched it, when she obeyed what the Lord said do, how he just miraculously caused her to have everything that she needed. Her and the whole house just ate good for days. Y'all know how y'all did when y'all came off the fast. Y'all ate good for days. Yes, you did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But why? Because she put first things first. It didn't matter how she felt. Come on now, mothers, y'all can imagine this. You ain't got nothing in the kitchen, your baby's stomach growling. How does that make you feel? That's a hurting thing. So she wasn't in no happy place when somebody said, come and give me first. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And you don't know you have faith until it get tried. And you don't know you have faith till, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we can shout real good on the mountaintop. We can shout and praise him, hallelujah, glory be to God on the mountaintop. But do you still have a hallelujah praise down in the valley? And do you understand that grace and mercy is with you in the valley? And grace and mercy can do some things. Grace and mercy can cancel some things. Grace and mercy can take you to places where nothing else can take you because it's the favor of God. So what I'm saying today, God spoke it to me twice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek after him with your whole heart. Pray a little bit more this year. Read the word a little bit this year. Just stay away from some other things. Don't get caught up in the cares of this world. If you want to get caught up in a kingdom, get caught up in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. We got to let some things go. We got to let some people go to get closer to God. But I guarantee you, there's nothing that you give up that you won't gain with Christ. And we have that mentality that because I'm going to suffer with Christ, I'm going to lose everything. But he suffered. He died. But now he's on the right hand of the Father. And his name is above every name. He has the keys of hell and death. He has everything. All is his. But guess what? We join heirs with Christ. Amen. And he's seated in heavenly places. And if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you are right there seated with him. And when we grasp hold of that concept, even though the blessings have not manifested, even though those things in the kingdom of God have not yet been transferred here where we can visibly see them, we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. And we've got to continue to seek him because I guarantee you, just like he put a roof on our house, he'll never fail you. It may look like everything's going to go down. It may look like you are already covered up. But I know he's the God that'll part the Red Sea. Yes. I know he's a God that'll take five loaves of bread and turn it into a whole lot. Tell me somebody can start with nothing and have 12 baskets left over. That's some power. And if you want that kind of power, if you want power to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you got to spend some time with Jesus. Let me close. Stand to your feet. God is saying today that the year 2020 is a year of perfect vision for you and your household. In everything that you've been asking God for, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's going to supply all your need, give you all your provisions. But all he wants you to do is to seek him first. Before your husband, before your wife, before your children. It doesn't mean neglect them, but if you got to get up early, a little earlier, You got to get up. And I'm preaching to myself. God is saying to you today, he loves you because you're his child. And he wants to bless you. He wants to take you to where you are the head and not the tail. Where you a lender and not a borrower. You look at the Old Testament, them saints had some stuff. They had some stuff. But before they had the stuff, they had the God. They had Yahweh. They thought his name was so holy, they didn't even want to say it. So he's saying, if you have me, you have it all. Because I've given it all to my son. And if you have salvation and you're obedient, it's all yours too. The kingdom of God. You're a king's kid. You're a king's kid. We have to just realize it. We're king's children. If there's anybody today that does not know the Lord, please come.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.